What a joy and a delight to see Ron and Helen back. To hear Helen's fingers just dance over the keyboard, and to hear Ron's sonorous voice as it fills this hall, particularly when he reads from Torah. So welcome back, friends. Welcome back to your family. When I was living at home, speaking of families, I would be constantly fighting with my sister, Karen. Sometimes the battles were so heated, Mother would come to me, me being the older, and beg me to compromise with Karen. Not knowing what compromise really meant, I assumed it meant giving in, and that I would not do. Let the battles continue. Karl Marx, the founder of the philosophy of communism, was no stranger to compromise. As a young lad living in Germany in the 19th century, Karl adored his father. They lived in an Orthodox Jewish home, observing the laws and going to synagogue three times a day. As the economy worsened in Germany, the Marx family moved to a small village outside Bonn, where there was no synagogue, the nearest being at least a half day's travel away. The only religious institution around was a Lutheran church. Karl was uncertain what this meant to the family and their spiritual journey until his father announced suddenly that they were leaving the Jewish faith and traditions and becoming Lutheran. The reason the elder Marx gave was it was good for business. His father's decision first bewildered, then frustrated, then finally angered the young Karl Marx to the point when in his studies in various universities in Germany, France, and England, he began to formulate his worldview of religion being the opiate of the masses. Clearly, his father's compromise had a profound impact on Karl Marx's thinking. To compromise is to make concessions and arrangements with someone who does not agree with one's sets of principles or premises. In essence, compromise is to lose a little to win a little. This is at the heart of the world of negotiations and bargaining. To win a little, you have to lose a little. The concept of compromise is anchored in the world of commerce, business, and law. Without compromise, the wheels of our economy would grind to a halt. Are you able to imagine labor negotiations which were based on consensus rather than on compromise? Or how about the legal system without its plea bargaining process? Jehovah's world is not like that. There is no compromising of his principles, his expectations of us, his commandments. Psalm 119 makes it very clear. How happy are those whose way of life is blameless, who live by the Torah of Jehovah. How happy are those who observe his instructions, who seek them wholeheartedly. They do nothing wrong but live by his ways. You laid down your precepts for us to observe with care. Let's examine King David's understandings. First, how happy are those whose way of life is blameless, who live by the Torah of Jehovah? When we allow his life instructions, his Torah, to guide and lead us, we are faced with the blessings of happiness and contentment. There is certainty within our world, knowing his word provides us with parameters, with boundaries. Then they do nothing wrong but live by his ways. Following his life instructions, his Torah, allows us to remain in a state of grace and purity, protected by his sacred word. You laid down your precepts for us to observe with care. It was with purpose Jehovah created his precepts, his boundaries, for by observing these with care, we are ensuring a life within his protection and a life of blessings within the grace he freely gives to those who obey in love. In 1 Kings 18, we are told, Ahab sent word to all the people of Israel and assembled the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Eliyahu stepped forward before all the people and said, How long are you going to jump back and forth between two positions? If Adonai is your God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. As faithful believers in Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, we listen to his voice only. In this example, we are witness to the Israelites who had compromised in their faith walk and were now caught in a position of having to make a choice between the idol to which they had gravitated or the ruler of the universe who birthed them and saved them from Egypt. As we read in verse 22, they could not say a word. They knew they had done wrong, but their compromise had silenced them. Abba Father, our great and beloved Abba, we pray that you lead us by your Holy Spirit towards insight and understanding of the temptations that draw us into compromise and of the dangers that result from our being ensnared in compromising our principles. In your beloved name, I pray. Inherent within the concept of compromise is a double-edged sword. Both these edges are very sharp. For example, a person who stands resolutely with Jehovah's precepts without bending at all runs the risk of becoming hard, harsh, and sharp with others. Such was the case of the camp of the Shammai Pharisees, who held to the Torah so rigidly they missed Jehovah's teaching as recorded in Mark 2, Shabbat was made for mankind, not mankind for Shabbat. On the other side of the blade stands the person, a people pleaser, having difficulty with conflict and confrontation, who gushes with love and compassion. Now, there's nothing wrong with love and compassion. However, this is a person who is easy prey to compromising Jehovah's standards. By focusing only on love and compassion and resisting the call of the Spirit to correct and to rebuke when necessary. Unfortunately, I see this happening more and more in the world today, especially within the church. The move to be compassionate towards the LGBT community has resulted in Jehovah's standards being compromised, with members of this community being invited to positions of leadership while still engaging in their homosexual lifestyles. The desire to attract Muslims into the Church of Jehovah has seen a major compromise in the form of Chrislam, a movement which sees the Quran occupying equal space with the Bible on church pulpits. Within the Messianic movement itself is seen a reaching out to Jewish communities with the compromise of creating a Messiah who is totally human, without any divinity whatsoever. All these examples and more are clear violations of Jehovah's ethical, legal, and spiritual guidelines. I wonder what his reactions must be. To seek his heart on the matter, let's begin with how he dealt with the kings of Israel, while walking in his narrow path, also compromised with the world and suffered consequences. King David is a good example. In Isaiah 55, we read, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the grace I assured David. I have given him as a witness to the peoples, a leader and lawgiver for the peoples." However, as we know, David was not perfect. He engaged in adultery and murder, and for this he suffered great consequences. Nonetheless, David was a man after Jehovah's heart and enjoyed a special relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. Even those close to Jehovah will suffer the consequence of compromising the word placed into our hearts through our desires to be in the world. Yes, compromising his word can have devastating spiritual and physical results. Let's take a moment and become aware of those dangers. Compromising with the world is a very subtle, slippery slope, hardly noticeable at first, but then once it reaches a tipping point, the way back will be arduous and painful. Today we are celebrating Israel's moment of assertion as she became an independent nation. However, this journey has not been an easy one, and Israel's leaders and rulers have been faced with compromising situations constantly. An example of this may be found in 2 Chronicles 17, when we read of Jehoshaphat's being in Jehovah's will. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, became king in his place. He strengthened his position against Israel by placing forces in all the fortified cities of Yehuda, and by garrisoning troops in the territory of Yehuda and in the cities of Ephraim that Asa, his father, had captured. We are told then, Jehovah was with Jehoshaphat because he lived according to the first ways of his ancestor David, not seeking the Baalim, but seeking the God of his father and living by his mitzvot, not by what Israel did. However, as Jehoshaphat was keeping the evil king Ahab at bay, he was attacked through a rear guard action by Moab. Ahab suggested an alliance between the two kingdoms to suspend all military action between them. Here was presented to Jehoshaphat an opportunity to secure his borders and stop the bleeding of his treasury through military action. However, it meant compromising with evil. We read of this pact when Ahab's daughter, Athaliah, married Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram. We read of the moment of compromise in 2 Chronicles 18. Ahab said, "Will you go with me to Ramat Gilead?" He answered him, "I am with you all the way. Think of my troops as yours. We will join you in this war." Being very aware of the potential danger, a prophet of Jehovah warned the king of the dangers of such compromise, but he was not heard. The result was a severe challenge for the devout king, an invasion by the armies of Ammon and Moab. They threatened the security of not only the kingdom, but Jehoshaphat's own life. Such is the consequence of defying Jehovah's word and compromising with the world. The consequence of Jehoshaphat's compromise with evil may be read in 2 Chronicles 18. However, briefly, Ahab turned against his new ally and had Jehoshaphat killed in battle against the Ammonites. Present-day Israel has also faced moments of compromise. Even within the land, there are calls for compromise with the so-called Palestinians. Labeled Land for Peace, there are those even within the government who feel ceding parcels of land will bring peace. How foolish are these? For they are blind to the understanding. This would only embolden and heighten the desire to obliterate Israel from the face of the earth. The impact upon those who strive for such a compromise will be devastating, not only to them, but to others within Jehovah's land and beyond. Another more modern example of the devastating effects of compromise with evil was the creation of the drug thalidomide. As it was being formulated for the comfort of pregnant women, the company was warned of the very real risks to the fetuses. The company, Chemie Grünthal, ignored the warning and made the drug universally available. The results were as predicted, devastating. Worldwide, millions of babies were born with misshapen or absent limbs. Many hundreds of thousands died shortly after birth due to impacts on internal organs. Interestingly enough, the drug thalidomide is still being manufactured today, but as a treatment for certain cancers and leprosy. Obviously, it is no longer available to pregnant women. The scientist who unsuccessfully fought against the distribution of the drug, Dr. Francis Kelsey, a Canadian by birth, was a pharmacologist working for the Federal Drug Administration in the United States. She refused to sanction the drug sale in the United States, but it was allowed in Canada. After the first few cases began to emerge in Australia and Europe, she put her foot down. The pressure on her to approve the drug by the American licensee Klein & French, now known as GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, was enormous, but she resisted compromising her principles regarding the safety of patients. Not only was she rewarded by the American government when the dust around thalidomide settled, but also, it seems, by Jehovah himself. Kelsey died in 2014, surrounded by a loving family at the age of 100. Oh yes, Kelsey was a believer. The fruit of her faith was clearly visible. Rav Shaul provides excellent advice for us, believers who are faced with the dangers of compromise with a world constantly. As he writes in Colossians 2, "Watch out so that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy and empty deceit, following human tradition which accords with the elemental spirits of the world, but does not accord with the Messiah." And then comes his word for me, which has become my guiding verses in Colossians 3. "Whatever work you do, put yourself into it as those who are serving not merely other people, but Jehovah. Remember that as your reward, you will receive the inheritance from Jehovah. You are slaving for Jehovah, for the Messiah." These verses have guided me when I have been faced with compromising situations. Have I always been successful? Absolutely not. However, Jehovah has been merciful and has given me the strength to repent of those moments of compromise, no matter how embarrassing or humbling the experience. In Hebrews 3, Rav Shaul once again exhorts us to be strong in Jehovah and not succumb to the seductive allure of compromise. "Watch out, brothers, so that there will not be in any one of you an evil heart lacking trust, which would lead you to apostatize from the living God." How easy it is for human beings to find excuses to compromise themselves, excuses which will relieve them of having to do difficult things in their lives. There's a curious phenomenon which occurs when we slide towards the seductive power of compromise. we begin to rationalize and justify our compromising behavior by reconceptualizing, changing Jehovah's commands to us to fit our needs and desires. Whether the motivation be fear of financial insecurity or the greed of holding on to every dollar as long as we possibly can. For example, I have heard people say because the Levitical system is no longer in effect, they do not have to tithe, and use this as an excuse to avoid supporting their assembly at all. And then there are those who say they tithe with time, thereby excusing themselves also from supporting Jehovah's work within and through the assembly, the Kehillah. Both these positions are compromises with the world and are sinful, as the hearts of the people who harbor them are subtly directed towards idolatry. By changing Jehovah's command, both through the Levitical and the Melchizedek systems of financially supporting Jehovah's work in and through Kehillah. The Apostle Kepha goes further in the understanding of resisting compromise from a passive to an active position. Listen to what he writes in 1 Peter 3. Treat the Messiah as holy, as Lord in your hearts, while remaining always ready to give a reasoned answer to anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, yet with humility and fear. Applying this to the 21st century gives us direction to explain why we cannot compromise our principles with a humble, not argumentative voice and in awe of Jehovah's power within us. Beloved, there are millions of professed believers around the world who claim to be followers of his word, but in actuality have compromised themselves to the world in subtle yet in profound ways. Adonai Yeshua speaks of this in Mark 4. Others, referring to many professed believers, are those sown among thorns. They hear the message, but the worries of the world, the deceitful glamour of wealth, and all the other kinds of desires push in and choke the message so that it produces nothing. Listening to the world's clamor producing desire for financial security, possession of things, advancement, prestige, or attention will always place us in positions where we will fall prey to the allure of compromise. The slope is at first gradual, but as we continue along, it will become more steep and slippery until before we realize it, we have compromised our biblical principles and have become ensnared within the adversary's jaws. How do we come to this? Many centuries ago, the apostles warned us, as we read in the apostolic scriptures. First, we have Rav Shaul's warning in 2 Timothy 4. For the time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ears itch to hear. Yes, they will stop listening to the truth, but will turn aside to follow myths. And then we have Kepha's condemnation of Hananiah and Sapphira, recorded in Acts 4. Why has the adversary so filled your heart that you lie to Ruach HaKadosh and keep back some of the money you received for the land? Before you sold it, the property was yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours to use as you pleased. So what made you to decide to do such a thing? You have not lied to human beings, but to Jehovah. Yes, beloved, we are confronted on every side with the allure of compromise. If we but stay in his word and do not allow ourselves to be drawn away from Jehovah's directions contained in his word, his life instructions, his Torah, we will be safe from the temptations which come at us constantly to, oh, so subtly move away and compromise ourselves. I urge you to pray with me as we ask Jehovah by Adonai Yeshua through Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim, to secure us from the temptation to compromise our hearts and our souls. Abba Father, our beloved Elohim, as our ancestor King David wrote in Psalm 101, I am singing of grace and justice. I am singing to you, Jehovah. I will follow the path of integrity. I will run my life with a sincere heart inside my own house. I will not allow before my eyes any shameful thing. I hate those who act crookedly. What they do does not attract me. Deviousness will depart from me. I will not tolerate evil. If someone slanders another in secret, I will cut him off. Haughty eyes and proud hearts I cannot abide. I look to the faithful of the land so that they can be my companions. I pray, Abba B'Shamayim, you will strengthen all of us in our resolve to follow your word, therefore avoiding temptation to compromise the integrity you have given each one of us. Our faith in you, our love for you. B'Shem Yeshua, Adonai, Amen.